is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Oh, it's good to be with you today. Did you know that God is looking down upon you right now as you hear my voice? You know, when we were little children, we studied the voyages of Christopher Columbus. And we were told, if it was accurate then, of course not what everything we've been taught in schools has been accurate, but we were taught that many people back around 1492 era believed that you could not possibly sail very far by ship or you'd fall off the end of the world. They believed the world was, or the earth was flat. But the Bible, being a book of science as well as truth and history, has a very interesting verse to it. And I want to read it to you. Now imagine, this verse was written almost 2,500 years ago. When all the geography people and all of the so-called learned men throughout the world were saying the earth is flat, here's what God said. Quote, of God, now this is what the scriptures are talking about, of God, it says, quote, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. God is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. It goes on to say, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. Therefore, it says in Isaiah, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. God looks down upon the circle of the earth. We're so small, we're like grasshoppers. And yet he cares for us. Has ever hair on your head numbered, the Bible says? And that is why we should lift up our eyes on high and behold he who has created all of these things. What a message. Right there, I could preach on that for probably 3 months. God sits upon the circle of the earth. Now, you see, if all of those so-called learned men back during the days of Christopher Columbus, if they had just gone to their Bible and turned to Isaiah 40:26, they said it could have said, go, Columbus. The earth is a circle. It says right here, you won't fall off. Well, praise God for his word. It is true. But you know, there's some people that hate God and they hate his word. And that's why we're having a series now entitled The Blood of the Martyrs Cries Out. So important. The series today is part two. First, of course, wonderful, beautiful music. What do we got for the folks? And for me and you too. Blackwood Brothers Quartet. His grace is sufficient. You know, friends, There will be some of us perhaps required to be martyrs of the faith. Even now, many people are suffering. And even if you're not being persecuted for your faith, you might have hard times that have befallen you. I hope you'll write to us and ask us to pray for you. I love it when I get a letter from a saint who says, Tex, please pray for me, pray for my health, pray for my husband, pray for a loved one. It doesn't matter what the need is. I promise you, I will read your letter. We will pray for you. I promise you, I will personally pray for each one who writes. And that's not an idle promise. Anybody in this ministry who works here will tell you that I read every letter that comes in. And every once in a while, sometime one sneaks through the system here, and I get upset about it, say, how'd that letter get out? You know, get away from my desk. Because I read every letter that comes in. And, you know, it's a privilege. It's actually a privilege when people ask me to pray for them. It's not a onerous burden. I see it as a great opportunity. It's just a wonderful thing to pray for the needs of the saints. And we want to pray for you. Hope you'll write to us with your needs and let us know of those needs. Now listen, to write us, you don't have to send us a love gift at all. If you have a prayer need, you know, we'll be delighted to do that. But when you're not writing for prayer needs, or sometimes even if you are, if you can afford to tuck in a love gift, we would appreciate it. It'll help keep this radio program going and keep up our facility and all of that. You know, we're in the world. We're not of the world, and we have to keep those things going. We don't make a lot of cries for money here, as you know. Probably less than five programs, and I mentioned money one little bitty time. But you know, we need your help, and we appreciate it. But you don't have to have a dime to write us with a prayer request. We love to hear from you. His grace is sufficient. What words we're going to hear from the legendary Blackwood Brothers. And then we'll go right into part two of Blood of the Martyrs Cries Out. Them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now what do you do then? It says in verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. That's the key, my friends. You confess Jesus to men, and he'll confess you to his Father in heaven, and the world will hate you, but heaven will have a celebration, a gala festival, And everyone will shout with joy and sing hymns that you came into the kingdom of God. Do you know that? That's how to guarantee yourself a party. There's some people in this world that have never had a party. Never had a birthday party. Never had any kind of a party. Never invited to a party. Well, listen, if you feel that way, if you feel you've been overlooked, neglected, well, you got a big party that you may not even know about. Held in your name in heaven. When you believe in God, that's it. They're having a party in your name. Now, one of the things we have to understand is that although we're hated, we don't hate. We don't hate. In Romans, we're told, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the role of the Christian. Nevertheless, no matter how much good that you do, be assured there's a great possibility that unless the Lord take you in some kind of a sickness or illness or some accident or just old age, that you will be killed by the world for your faith. And, of course, in the last days, many of us will die for our faith. It's been said, of course, that the seed of the church is the blood of the martyrs. Of course, that's a little overstating it because the seed is the word of God. But I do believe that the blood of the martyrs has actually fertilized the church of God and caused it to grow. Anywhere on earth Christians are persecuted, the church grows. Anywhere on earth the church is not persecuted, the church withers and dies. Isn't that a strange irony, my friends? And across the world, there are many, many people now who are dying for the faith. You know, we're so lucky. It's not luck. We're fortunate. We're blessed by God. But in foreign lands today, there are those who are greatly suffering. Recently, reading the Lion of Judah newsletter, they say here, a quote, Christians from countries around the world are being tortured, jailed, beaten, starved, and their homes and churches burned. Atrocities against Christians are occurring. In the Battle Cry newsletter, Jack Chick writes, quote, the hatred of believers is mounting worldwide. Persecution and murder of Christians in Muslim nations goes unreported by the networks. Here's an article from the Associated Press, January the 25th. It says the charred bodies of a missionary and his two sons in New Delhi, India, were laid out in wooden coffins Sunday. The first deaths in a string of attacks on Christians in India. Police have arrested 49 Hindu radicals suspected of burning to death Australian Graham Staines, 58, and his sons, Philip, 10, and Timothy, 8, Saturday as they slept in their Jeep. Think about this. Here was a missionary, a man who loved Jesus, a man who, I'm sure, believed in overcoming evil with good. He and his sons, 10 and 8 years of age, burned to death by hateful Hindus. It says here, sobs broke the silence Sunday at the small Christian church in Barapeta, where friends and family members gathered for prayers. Staines had been a missionary since 1965. A friend said, people are filled with sorrow. He was a man who loved all. Well, here again we have the martyrs. You know, there's even a ministry called The Voice of the Martyrs. I think your prayers are very, very needed. I hope you'll take a little pen and paper, or pencil and paper, and write this name down and keep this person in your prayer request. I just received this. Here's the letter. It says, I have received this from Jeff Futers of the Bible League. He writes, I have received an urgent prayer request through someone in my church. There is a beautiful 15-year-old girl named Salima in Pakistan who is a Christian. She converted her close friend who was 14. This youngster was so excited about Christianity that she told her parents and they killed her. It looks like the 15-year-old Salima is to be publicly executed. We need to send up prayer for this child to give her strength and resolve to deal with whatever happens to her. Please pass this information on to as many other Christians as you can. Please pray for Salima. You know, geographical boundaries are no limitations to God. Please pray for Salima and pray that somehow God can forgive these parents who killed her little friend simply because she was converted to Christianity. You see, friends, these are the martyrs of the faith. These are people who are already suffering. And for us to say, oh, it will never overtake us, we will always be prosperous and healthy and safe. You better watch out. When you think you stand, that's exactly when you're going to fall. Well, in many countries of the world, such as Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Pakistan, Bangladesh, it is against the law to convert a person to the Christian faith. Even in Israel today, the legislature, the Knesset of the nation of Israel, until recently was considering legislation to make it a criminal offense to preach Jesus to a person so that they would be converted. You know, after all the tens of billions of dollars of aid money we gave Israel, their Knesset turned around and said, we're going to make it a criminal offense to preach Jesus and convert. Now, that law did not pass when, unfortunately, many Christian groups got together and assured the government and the legislators that they would not preach Jesus anymore. That was the most unbelievable thing I had ever seen. For Christian ministries and churches in the nation of Israel to come together, most of them, 90% of them, and guarantee the government they would not preach Jesus. What are they there for, if not to preach to the lost? They did it so that they could keep their positions. Because even the prime minister at the time, Benjamin Netanyahu, said that he would sign this bill into law. Please pray for Salima in Pakistan. In the newsletter, Voice of the Martyrs, I want to read to you about what happened in the nation of North Korea. It says, Soon Ok Yi was imprisoned in the Kaechun Rehabilitation Center, or prison camp, in Pyongan Namdao province from 1987 to 1992. She witnessed the execution of many Christians. Here is her story. Now, before I go on with this, friends, I want you to understand, North Korea is still run today by vicious communist chieftains. So this is still continuing. Soon Ok Yi wrote, she said, quote, I have seen the execution of Christians at least once a month. At the center, prisoners were given one day of rest each month. However, instead of allowing rest, the warden always used this time for political and religious propaganda. The worship designed by Kim Il-sung, our leader. The first target groups for this rehabilitation were always the Christians in the camp. At our center, there were about 6,000 prisoners and 30 to 40 Christians at any given time. Prison officers brought out these Christians and made them sit face down on the ground, circled by the other prisoners. Then they were asked to deny their belief in heaven and God in heaven. They were told that if they said they did not believe in Jesus or God in heaven, then they would have better treatment in the prison. While I was in prison these years, I did not see a single Christian deny his or her faith. When these Christians were silent, the officer became furious and started to kick the Christian's stomach, back, face, and any place where it really hurt. Some Christians died from this beating. Other Christians were killed by the death squad, which was made up of young men in their early 20s who were very brutal. I cannot describe their cruelty enough. These executioners did not work regularly, but came only for the executions. On the day of execution, they would usually take a drug to cause them to act like a hungry animal. The executions were conducted in public. All prisoners were called to observe them. After the bloody executions, all prisoners were made to go around the dead body to say a word of hate to the dead victim and to remind themselves to live for the Communist Party. This event caused fear among prisoners and much trembling. We could not sleep for many nights. At the time, I could not understand why these Christians risked their lives when they could have said, I do not believe, and accept what the officer insisted. I even saw some who sang music as the kicking and hitting intensified. The officers called the singers crazy, and some they would take to the electric treatment room. I saw none came out alive. When they sang these Christian songs, I too, at the time, thought they were crazy. That is, until I escaped to South Korea where there was freedom, and I heard these same hymns sung in church. Now I know the meaning of these hymns. Now, Soon Oki goes on to talk about Christians being killed with molten iron poured out of a furnace. And I'm not going to read all of it to you. But you see these kinds of things that are happening in the world. And then we have things such as in Red China. We've given that nation most favored trade status. We've accepted, the Democratic Party has accepted huge donations from China. Donations. In other words, under the table money. Bribes. Our great capitalist system is trading with the Chinese and glad to do so. And yet, I read to you this news report just recently. It states, quote, police have arrested 40 leading members of Protestant groups from two provinces, and the latest detentions in Red China aimed at crushing popular underground churches, a rights group reported. Among those detained were Wang Jiankai, leader of a controversial group known as the Shouters. Ooh. They must have been Christians who shouted for Jesus. It says Wang, who was preaching in underground churches since the 1980s, had only recently finished serving 3 years in a labor camp. When he got out, instead of obeying the authorities, he began to preach in underground churches once again. Well, what else could Brother Wang Jiankai do than to preach the Word of God? And if he were arrested for it, my friends, well, that's the way it is. Because what else can we do? Now, I've received letters in this ministry from down in Mexico, missionaries having their cars burnt, their homes burnt, being punished for their faith in God. And they were told that if only they would go along with the ecumenical movement of Billy Graham and the others, they would be safe. But they refused. They insisted on preaching the Bible and on telling that even the Catholics there, they must be saved. And for that, they were hated. Now, I have so many stories that I can read to you. I want you to understand that in Red China is one of the greatest persecutions of Christians in the world today. I have one newsletter here where there is a picture of, there's about 20 young students, mostly young men, but a few girls. This is a secret Bible school. They all have their faces. They have a scarf around their faces, a black scarf, to hide who they are. There's actually a secret Bible school there in China because they're being so persecuted. And when they finish the Bible school, they go and fan out to home churches across China, underground churches. Now, if you register your church, then they have communist agents come and listen to what you say. And of course, if you don't go along with Mao Zedong's little red book and the communist propaganda, you will be severely punished. That's why they want no independent churches in China. You say, well, thank God that doesn't happen in America. Oh, then how do you explain the IRS visiting this ministry? How do you explain the IRS visiting Living Truth Ministries, and the IRS telling me that I could not preach certain things, that I would have to allow those who are the enemies of Christ, in other words, those who oppose the teachings of the Bible, forums or I would be punished by the IRS in the United States of America. They would strip us of our nonprofit status. We would have to pay taxes on everything that we take in, even contributions, I suppose, up past a certain level. The IRS told me that, in fact, they gave me a list of things that could be a violation if I preached on these things. There are churches today being told by the IRS they cannot preach against the sin of homosexuality. They cannot preach against the sin of abortion. And they are told that they must register with the IRS as a category 501c3 nonprofit public charity organization. And if they don't, well, they're still going to watch us. Some people told me, well, Tex, just let your nonprofit status go. Well, that's why Power Prophecy is not a nonprofit group. We don't do what the IRS tells us to do. We do what God tells us to do. They can still come and audit us and try to punish us and use every means they can for intimidation and bullying. I have no doubt that Power Prophecy will be audited very soon. I'm surprised they haven't come yet. They will audit everything. They will audit me personally. They will audit this ministry. They will audit everything that we do, even this radio program. Because we've done something wrong? Of course not. But because Christian churches across America are now being examined by the IRS. And when it is determined that they are politically incorrect, that is, we do not meet the religious requirements of the government in all ways, then the hellraisers come forth to seek to make trouble. And that's just the way it is. You know, it's even been proven.
You've been listening to Bible Home Church. Please tune in next week as Pastor Mars concludes his sermon, The Blood of the Saints Cries Out. Until then, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.